For the soldiers of the cross to march around Jericho. I'm calling for a holy war of prayer and preaching of the cross to pull down the strongholds of Satan. For Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy, without spot or wrinkle, by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up tall and straight, be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God.
Do you fear this man invention that they call atomic power? Are we all in great confusion? Do we know the time or hour when a terrible explosion may rain down upon our land, leaving horrible destruction, blooding out the works of man?
Are you ready for that great atomic power? Will you rise and meet your Savior in the air? Will you shout or will you cry when the fire rains from on high? Are you ready for that great atomic power?
There is one way to escape it. Be prepared to meet the Lord. Give your heart and soul to Jesus. He will be your shield and sword. He will surely stand beside you, and you'll never taste of death. For your soul will fly to safety and eternal peace and rest.
Are you ready for that great atomic power? Will you rise and meet your Savior in the air? Will you shout or will you cry when the fire rains from on high? Are you ready for that great atomic power?
There's an army who can conquer all the enemy's great men. It's the regiment of Christians guided by the Savior's hand. When the mushroom of destruction fall in all its fury great, God will surely save his children from that awful, awful fate.
Are you ready for that great atomic power? Will you rise and meet your Savior in the air? Will you shout or will you cry when the fire rains from on high? Are you ready for that great atomic power?
As we will get closer to the end times, the peoples of this planet will begin to understand and realize that things are changing dramatically. They will start to look for answers, and I believe many will turn to the spiritual. And what I mean by spiritual, they will not necessarily turn to the Lord God. They will turn to the occult. They will turn to the New Age movement. They will turn to different religion to try and get some stability in their lives. Yes, the Bible teaches us that in the last days, men shall run to and fro. And this is what we're seeing. And this is also what is happening to many church denominations and many religious systems. The Bible teaches us in the last days, there's going to be a shaking, and whatever will not be situated on the solid rock will simply crumble and fall. The Lord has given his children a commission, and many Christians in those last days, don't seem to understand what that commission is. The word of God hasn't changed. In Mark chapter 16, the command still stands. Go you into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them and making disciples out of them. But when we look at the church organizations of North America, it seems like that they want to try to compromise with the world, make friends with the world so that somehow the world will feel accepted by the church. The Bible doesn't teach that the world needs to feel accepted by the church, because the world as a rule looks for whatever pleasure they can find. And the last place that they will find to be accepted is in the church, because the church will preach against their promiscuous lifestyle. Thus they feel they're not accepted. So dear Christian friend, don't feel guilty if some of your worldly friends tell you they feel more accepted by the world than by the church, because the world doesn't care what they do. It is the Christian that is concerned about immense spiritual well-being, and he will bring accusation if that worldly person does not repent. Thus, they don't feel accepted. That's very natural, and that's the way it should be. They need to turn away from their evil things and turn to the Lord, because the judgments of God are going to be very harsh. The Lord also has a way of operating. We as Christians, we seem to think we can go about and do whatever. No, the Lord has a blueprint for all of us. And today I will teach on that subject. But before I get into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I come before you in Jesus' name. I pray that you will anoint this message, you will open the hearts of the listeners, so that we will understand that you have a blueprint for each and every one of us. I ask you to bless this message today in Jesus' name. Amen. When we study the Old Testament, the prophets and the patriarchs of God, every time these prophets of God would neglect to seek the face of God in a situation, and they would do their own thing, they would fall into different calamities. We noticed that Abraham went to Egypt without consulting God, and there he ran into some interesting troubles and trials. When we study the Old Testament, we can understand and see that the Lord has a blueprint for each and every person to follow. Especially when you're in the service of the Lord, you need to be careful that you follow that blueprint to the T. Otherwise, you may fall short of accomplishing your ministry. It tells us in Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. Here is Joshua getting ready to destroy Jericho. They had camped around about it. The people had locked up the gates. They were standing on the walls, ready to defend to the last man if they need to. And here is what Joshua is doing. He's going out to observe the situation. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. Here is an interesting situation. Joshua knows that his commission is to go in and take the land of Canaan and destroy their inhabitants. And at the first battle, at the first stop, the Lord God meets Joshua. And Joshua gets an interesting surprise. He asks the Lord, who are you for the enemy or for us? And the Lord says, neither. That word nay simply means neither of you. It took me a while to figure out what that meant. But here is what the Lord is saying. God has his children on this earth. And there is a plain. And those Canaanite people had filled their cups with iniquity. They are still God's people, and God had to take care of them. But here is Joshua getting ready to do the job. And Joshua asks, who are you for? And God says, neither of you. That's interesting. But here is the point I'm trying to make. The Lord told Joshua, unless you do what I tell you, you will be the same in my eyes as those other people are. You need to follow my blueprint and do what I tell you, and then I will be on your side. If Joshua would have turned away from God and would not have followed the orders of God, he would have led the Israelites to destruction around Jericho. But when we study the word of God, it clearly tells us that Joshua very carefully followed the instructions. And later on, Jericho was destroyed. It wasn't a natural destruction. The Bible teaches us that the walls came crumbling down after they marched around it for 7 days and then seven times on the seventh day. They followed the blueprint that God gave them. When you study what happened when God told them to go up to the city of Ai, they did not seek the Lord's instruction, and they were beaten back. And when Joshua asked what the problem was, the Lord told him the problem. They straightened it out, and back they went and destroyed that city. This is how it works in the kingdom of God today. If you don't operate in the will of God, God will pass you by. He will not use you. Many people today in the Christian community are doing this and doing that and accomplishing nothing. Why? Because they are not following the blueprint that God has laid out for them. And this is a problem that we see with many Christians today. They hop from church to church. They're looking for the latest excitement, the latest thrill. They do not have a vision. They don't have a goal. And Christians need to be aware of that. They need to understand that we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of what we did here on this planet. Many people believe that the Lord will check you out for your sin. I believe our sin has been taken care of at the cross of Jesus Christ. What he will be looking for is fruit. What did you accomplish for me through the power that was available to you? Did you neglect that power? Did you seek after it? Did you follow my blueprint? The Lord is there. He warns us over and over in Scripture. The Lord Jesus Christ himself said, greater works will you do than I did, because I will go on to the Father. This clearly tells us that the Lord is waiting for us to accomplish, what he started. Today, many churches, all it is social clubs. They figure whatever will happen, it's the will of the Lord anyway, so just let's just relax and let it come to pass. No, the judgment seat of Christ will judge that attitude. And especially as you see the end time coming in amongst us, we need to tell people to repent, to turn away from their sin. We need to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. There used to be an interesting saying, what will Jesus do? Never mind what would Jesus do. We need to do what Jesus did. Moses, the great man of God who led the children of Israel out of Egypt, when God called him to service, he argued with God and said, God, I'm not good enough. I'm not strong enough for what you want me to do. It tells us here that Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I'm not eloquent. Neither therefore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of slow tongue. So Moses was arguing with God, I'm not eloquent. That means I'm not polished. And I'm slow of speech. I don't even know how to talk half decently. And the Lord, it tells us here, that the Lord became angry with him. Read those scripture for yourself. It's in Exodus chapter 4, verse 14. It tells us, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. Yes, that is what's happening today to many Christians. The Lord has a work for them, but they're neglecting it. They're not moving out in faith. They are afraid of losing their maybe security. They don't want to make any waves. Let everything just be as it is. It's nice as it was. No, we are heading for judgment. We can't afford to sit quiet. We need to warn the peoples of this planet of the horrifying judgment that is around the corner. And God has given us, the Christians, that commission. And for those of you who don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, let this be a warning to you. I cannot compromise with you in your lifestyle because Scripture gives a dire warning against those who reject the forgiveness of God. The Bible teaches us that the reason people will not turn to Jesus is because they love darkness more than they love light. This is why they don't turn to God for forgiveness. They enjoy their pleasure. They enjoy their sin. And then many people will tell us they feel more accepted by the world than they feel accepted by the church. Of course, they're not going to feel accepted by the church. Every true born-again believer knows the horrors of God's judgment, and he cannot dare to compromise with you. The Bible teaches us, what part has God with the devil? That's very interesting. The devil and God do not operate together. They are worlds apart, and this is exactly how it is with the unbeliever and the believer. We cannot accept you the way you are. You need to repent. You need to turn from your sin and turn to Jesus for forgiveness, because we, the Christian, we care for you. We want you to be in heaven. Never mind this short season of pleasure here for a time. That is for your destruction. We cannot afford to accept you as you are. You need to come to our side because there is no way we can come to yours. The Lord will give you a heart of understanding in this. This is a serious situation. Both the Christian and the unbeliever alike need to understand that situation. There can be no compromise. We need to stand on what we believe, and we cannot step back from the calling that God has called us. Yes, this is how it is, and this is how it's going to stay. So turn to Jesus, receive him as your Savior, and the Lord will open your heart to the truths and joys of the eternal kingdom that is to come. The Lord will open your heart to this truth and make you a blessing. Amen.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace that is ours? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Are you washed in the blood?
Savior's side, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Are you washed in the blood? Blood in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white, pure and white in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansions bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Are you washed in the blood? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Are you washed in the blood? Soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
When we talk to people about Christianity these days in North America, many people can identify with being a Christian, anyways, the way it is being taught. Many people call themselves Christians. It does not seem to matter what lifestyle, what sin they're in, they claim to be Christians. In John chapter 3, verse 16, there's this famous verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That is a very simple and direct verse. It seems to say that all you have to do is believe in Jesus, then you're saved. We have to understand the devil believes, but he is not saved. Many people say they believe, and they're born again, and they're Christians. But their lifestyle, the fruits of their lives, teach us different. So what does this scripture really mean? It tells us, whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. What does it mean to believe in Jesus? When Jesus talked about salvation, he had a very clear outline. First, a person needs to sell everything he has and give to the poor, and then follow Jesus. This is one of the examples. What this scripture really means is you cannot serve two gods. Money cannot have priority over me. And that goes for religion. If your religion has more priority than Jesus, then we know where your heart is. The Bible teaches us also that a person needs to repent. If you want to believe in Jesus and not repent of your sin, then you have a dead belief. It has no value. The Bible teaches us that without works, faith is dead. If you say you believe in Jesus and your lifestyle doesn't prove it, then there is something wrong. This is what it means: for those who believe in Jesus shall not perish but have everlasting life. It's very clearly written, very interestingly written. A person could miss the point if he is nonchalant about the whole thing. Turning to Jesus is more than just believing that he exists. We have to remember the devil believes that Jesus exists, and he is going to end up in the eternal lake of fire. John chapter 1, verse 12, it tells us, "But as many as receive him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." So the first step is to believe in him, and then God will give you the power to become the son of God. What does he mean by that? Go through the scripture, go through the blueprint on how to become a born-again person. If you accept that, if you seek after that, you then are going to become a child of the kingdom of God. There's no cheap grace here. There's no easy beliefism here. It is very serious. God checks you out. He knows your attitude. He knows if you have business, if you will mean business or not. And the moment the Lord knows that you mean business, he then saves you. He replaces your dead spirit with a newborn spirit. And then he seats you in heavenly places where you are sealed unto the day of redemption. This is why I believe in once saved, always saved. Because I believe once a person is truly born again, there's going to be a change in his life. There's going to be a difference. The Bible teaches us, he that is led by the Spirit of God is a son of God. If you are not led by the Spirit of God in your everyday life, then you are not a son of God. Oh yes, we will fall into different traps of Satan. We will fall into sin. That's not the point here. The point is, if you are going to truly be born again, you will see those traps and you will repent after you fall and after you fail. The Bible clearly teaches that the righteous will fall 7 times, but he will get up. The determination in his heart is not there by himself. It has been placed there by the Spirit of the living God. There is an interesting scripture that teaches that he that endures unto the end, he then shall be saved. What does this mean? Does it mean that we can somewhere on along the line fall off? No, what it really means is the one that endures unto the end is the one that was truly born again by the Spirit of the living God. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 19, there's this famous scripture. "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would not, no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us." Yes, many people fall away. Were they truly born again believers? I highly doubt it. Because the Bible teaches us they went out from us because they were not of us. The Bible also teaches us that the Lord will say, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you." He will not say, "I once knew you." He will say, "I never knew you." The Lord will open your heart to those truths and make you a blessing to many around you. Amen.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2.